CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're glad you've joined us. And once again, we want to just continue to pray for those in Southern California that have lost so much. Whole entire towns are wiped off the map. It is just incredible to see. We just want to encourage you to pray for the firefighters, pray for the brothers and sisters there that are faced with so many challenges to minister to one another. And again, we take this time, we set this time aside every weekday afternoon to search the scriptures, see if these things are so. You know, the Bereans in the New Testament, they were noble, the Bible says, and they searched the scriptures to see if what was being said was true. You know, we have so much stuff today that's not true. The American news media is so, so bad. It's terrible. In fact, I was reading a story today in USA Today, and I'm just going to read you the headline. This is from USA Today. Must be communist USA. I don't know what it is, but it says, this is the headline. You can look this up on your phone, everybody. Trump hasn't put out the LA fires yet? What is that incompetent POL? I don't know what that is. Hope I didn't offend anybody. Waiting for. Well, you know, it's really sad because what is he waiting for? USA Today? Well, first of all, he's not the governor. And he's not the president. That's right. Oh, I just wonder what they do for journalism there. Just the thought. You know, we set this time aside to look for truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And it seems that in all of our quest to find truth, and in matter of fact, if you go to the colleges, they'll tell you that truth is relative. My truth may not be your truth. And so truth is kind of how you look at it. So there is no real truth. But the Bible says there is. And you can violate the truths that are in the Bible and destroy your life, destroy your eternity. That's why we like to set this time aside to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events through a biblical perspective so we won't be duped by what the mass media is telling us. And what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? Joining me today, special guest, featured CSN speaker that comes on 1 hour before To Every Man an Answer. We have with us John and a friend, and I love you, John, and thanks for being here. John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South OC. John, thank you for, I know you have a very large church and you take your time to be here on To Every Man an Answer. Welcome, and I'm glad you're here.
Oh, Mike, thank you so much. It is a privilege and an honor and something I look forward to on Tuesdays to get together with the CSN family and to be part of the radio broadcast with you and, of course, daily here on a daily walk on the CSN network. And really appreciate all the prayers from everybody for us here in California, especially those who have lost everything. You know, we have been partnering with several other Calvary chapels and other ministries there in the Altadena fire right now and taking up supplies. We're collecting supplies here and then driving them up. And I'm sure that's going to go on for some time. We haven't been able to get into the area, Mike, where the fires have taken place because, well, right now, sadly, they're sending, you know, the canine unit through and they just discovered a deceased body and they don't know how much else is there besides that. They don't want anybody digging through any harmful, wasteful material. I mean, somebody could get greatly contaminated. So it is a, Mike, it looks apocalyptic. When you look at the pictures, when you see what's happened there, it just almost doesn't seem real, but it's very real. And so many people have been displaced. And so our prayers are with them. And now we're just waiting for the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus in these areas.
It's so tragic to see. And again, I just really believe that, you know, for so many people that think every day is going to be the same day in, day out, all things remain as they are. You know, it's just a heart attack away, a fire, a car wreck, some other medical issue, and everything changes. You know, that's why every day for all of us, we need to be thankful and we need to be about our Father's business because, again, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. Mm-hmm. And when I watch the news, if people have one of those smart TVs, which most TVs now are, I happen to watch, I just zoomed in on KTLA. This is not a commercial for them, but KTLA Channel 5 from Los Angeles, and it's almost 24-hour coverage of the fires. And to see the devastation and the people who lost loved ones and all these things, much to pray about and much to pray for the protection of those people fighting the fire in harm's way. And so we want to really keep them up in prayer. And again, John, how are the fires doing? Now, I understand the Santa Anas are back today, and hopefully they don't break out in, you know, the hills there in Santa Ana, up at Santiago Peak and the Inland Empire and all. Right now, it's been pretty much over on the north side of L.A., but I guess got a lot of winds coming down the Cone Pass there by San Bernardino.
Yeah, you know, the winds are just so unpredictable. You know, this time of year, we always have these kinds of winds. And the tragic thing, Mike, and these reports have been coming out that there have been people who have been starting the fires. That's the thing that I just, you know, people who are actually arsons. In fact, there was a man who was arrested who was dressed as a fireman who was starting fires. I mean, that's just how sick it is. And these are the things. I mean, people have lost everything. And so already now lawsuits are being filed for negligence against Edison. And so many things are just unfolding. We're just at the beginning of it, let alone obviously, our leadership in this state has just been so incompetent and has really failed at its post. And it starts with the governor, and everybody knows that. But, you know, for us, we just want to give people hope. We just keep pointing to Jesus and looking. You know, Mike, I was reminded of that passage in Scripture where it says that the Lord gives us beauty for ashes. And that's wow. Really our prayer. Who are suffering right now.
Yeah. Amen. 8888 Ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be part of the program today. We got some lines open, so if you call right now, I think you'll enjoy it. And with that, let's go ahead and go. We can go to the phones. We have Joel on the line, Bullhead City, Arizona. Hi, welcome.
Hey, Mike. God bless you and all the guest pastors you have on your show. I just wanted to relay something to you, some information that I had heard on the news, and I don't know if you were up to speed on that or not. Apparently, some researchers over in Sweden had developed an AI image of Jesus, and they put it on a computer monitor, of course, and they installed it in a confession booth in a church over there. And mm-hmm. I'm guessing it was a Catholic church. I'm not sure. But most of the people that went into that confession booth liked that. And, of course, the AI Jesus can speak about 100 different languages, and it can talk to the people and respond to the people. The Catholic Church is showing great interest in that that program. And it just brings to mind how people, I believe, are beginning to worship the creation rather than the creator.
Yeah, it is true. It's in a church in Switzerland, as a matter of fact, developed by the Swedes. And again, it's in Peter's Chapel in Lucerne, Switzerland. And people are able to go in there and do their confession to AI. Boy, John, we're living in some last days, aren't we? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, it's so bizarre, and just that you know, the technology that's being used and the way in which it's being used, it's kind of frightening what they're capable of doing, you know, nowadays. And I think we're just at the beginning of what AI is going to be used for. And Boy, I think, you know, thankfully, Mike, we don't have to go to an AI Jesus. We go to the real one. You know, we confess our sins to the Lord and he forgives us. He cleanses us. And I can speak directly to the real King and Savior, not one that is generated by input from technology and so forth. But it's just a sign of the times, Mike. We have to be getting closer to the return of Jesus.
Amen. And so I believe again that many false Jesuses are being taught today in the cults and around the world. I believe this is probably just another instance of that. You know, again, I want to remind everybody that when you talk to people, and especially in different faiths, different religions, oftentimes they will use the same words we use. They'll use Jesus, heaven, hell, salvation, all these words that the Bible clearly defines for us. But when you get into the cults, you get into secular humanism, talking about Christianity, they have completely, completely different meanings. And we have to be very, very careful of that. If you're a Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is Michael the Archangel. If you're a Mormon, Jesus is Satan's brother. The Bible says he's God's only son, John 3:16. The Bible says that he is God, not a created being, as the cults teach. And so we have to be very much aware of when we talk to somebody, when we use words, who we're talking to, because again, they have a different understanding. And so again, Paul clearly warns about another gospel in the last days. And so we find this based on another Jesus, not the one that's in the Bible. Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say, Mike, the sad thing is if you're going in and you're confessing your sins to an AI Jesus, just know this, they're not forgiven. I mean, the Bible says we go to Jesus. If we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No AI-generated Jesus can cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Only the real Jesus, who actually shed his blood and died in our place, has that ability. So it's really, it's a fruitless and pointless errand to even go through that.
Yeah, no AI has shed its blood for you. Only Jesus. Mm. Joel, hope that helps.
Hey, thank you. God bless you guys. I just wanted to pass that along and try to get the word out as much as possible about that. But thank you.
Amen. We want to stay aware. If you like, stay online. Send you out to the movie Jesus based on the book of Luke, as well as God of Wonders and 101 Last Days Prophecies. Well, let's go to Jamie in Bakersfield, California. Hi, and welcome.
Hello. How you doing?
Hi, Jamie. How can we help?
It's Jaime. But it's okay.
Okay.
I have a question.
Jaime.
I just have a question. Yes, I just have a question, and I'm going to hang up so I can listen to it loud and clear on the radio. I was having a conversation with the family this weekend, and we were talking about praying and obviously, like, covering the family, a hedge of protection, and we got into the topic of pleading the blood of Jesus over the family. And I don't know what to think about that. I tried to look, see if there's any scripture on it. I know that I might have heard you. Is it Mike Kessler I'm talking to?
Yes.
I think I've heard you before talk about it. I just want to kind of get another explanation, get hear it again so I could have it clear in my mind. So with that, like I said, I just want an explanation on pleading the blood of Jesus when you pray on people or on loved ones or whatever it is.
Jaime, thank you so much for the question, because again, it is important. There's no verses in the Bible that speak of this. I believe this probably came out of perhaps some Pentecostal church or something like that. And then it was adapted. And so many people will do that. We know that when our power as a Christian, as a believer, comes from us and us recognizing that we are children of the Most High God. Jesus' blood is what forgave us of our sins. But once our sins forgiven, now we become the children of the Most High, and that's our authority from him. So in other words, as we go into the book of Jude, when Satan was in contention with Michael over Moses' body, it says he did not bring railing accusation against him, it said he said, the Lord rebuke you. Now, I think it's interesting. It does not say, and when Satan in contention with Michael over Moses' body pled the blood. It doesn't say that. It said, the Lord rebuke you. That is the source of our authority. And as I've always told people, always keep Jesus between you and the enemy. The Lord rebuke you. I see some of these TV evangelists, and you know, they're on TV and they're going to jump on the devil, and they're up and jumping up and down on the stage. I wish they'd read their Bible to know you're not supposed to do that. Jesus said, don't rejoice that you have power over the devil, but rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. And yet they're up there jumping on the devil, and they're, you know, they're going to, I went to a church one time in Twin Falls, and on the evening service, they passed out sheets of paper to everybody. I thought, this is interesting. Maybe we're going to take notes. Well, when everything was passed out, they had a screen up on the stage behind the pulpit. And there they projected a picture of the devil. Now, this is true. This is in a church that claims, supposed to claim they know God. And so what you were to do is take that paper, wad it up in a ball, and then throw it at the picture movie screen with the devil on it. And that wad of paper was supposed to be where you feel the devil is really temptating you. Wacky, wacky stuff. That's not the way we do things. The Lord rebuke you. That's the way we fight the devil, not with wads of paper. See, this is the problem. So your thoughts on the pleading of the blood that we often hear within actually even the evangelical church, your thoughts?
Yeah, again, I would agree with you, Mike. Those I think that's something that was adapted perhaps in Pentecostal or charismatic movements, just kind of a phrase that just kind of caught on. And so people say, I plead the blood. You know, I plead the blood. And you think, well, about what? And I think maybe for some of them, it comes from Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, you know, where it says that they triumphed over Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So maybe for some, they feel like, well, if you plead the blood of the Lamb, then you overcome the devil. The Bible does have much to say about the blood of Jesus and what it accomplishes. I mean, obviously, it is atoned for our sins. We're redeemed, Peter says, not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. So we were redeemed through the blood of Jesus. Paul says we have redemption through his blood, according to the riches of his grace. In writing to the Colossians, he said we have made peace through the blood of his cross and reconciled all things to himself. So we see the blessing of the blood of Jesus, and certainly we ought to mention it. Communion is a reminder to us of the shed blood of Jesus, but you'd be hard pressed to find anywhere, for example, in the Gospels, in the epistles, in the book of Acts, where you see anyone pleading the blood. And so I would say if you don't see that in those places, if it's not taught by Jesus, if it's not taught by the apostles in the book of Acts, if it's not taught or written about in the epistles, and it's not in, then I would say, well, I don't know that I need to pray that way and say, plead the blood. I understand the blood of Jesus is sufficient to redeem me, but I don't need to plead the blood over something. I don't think you find that in the scriptures. I'm thankful for the blood. Praise you for your blood. It has washed me clean. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I say yes and amen to that. So I think, Mike, sometimes these things just kind of catch on and people just run with it and it's repeated over and over and it's somebody learned it and then everybody prays it, you know?
And you know, like again, we have to be aware, I think, of what the blood did. It was to keep death away from us. I believe that is so important. As we understand that the blood was for the covering of sins. But when we deal with the devil, we deal with the devil in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, can people say things that sound spiritual that maybe not necessarily have any authority? I believe much of what we find today is that way. But I think if we go back to what the Bible says and going to this area in where does our strength lie, it comes from Jesus Christ. The blood saved us from our sins. But the authority that we have through the Holy Spirit for us to do the work that God has called us to do, I believe, is so important that we understand the source of our power. It's good to understand the source of our salvation, absolutely. But again, we don't find that. Now, very quickly, John, I want you to talk. You touched lightly on it. How churches, or how we as New Testament churches, develop the belief system that we have. Now, I know that's a big topic, and maybe you can do this in just a couple of minutes, but how, if we saw Jesus teach on it, if we saw the New Testament church teach on it, and the New Testament church practice it, this is where we get much of our church doctrine from. So in other words, in communion, for instance, some churches have feet washing, others don't. Is it wrong to have communion without feet washing? Your thoughts.
Oh, my question on that, is it wrong? We don't here have that. I think Jesus used that as, and again, that was a cultural thing that Jesus did, obviously, in that context. When you would come into a home, people didn't have necessarily hot water and running showers. You didn't show up to the event all washed. You already bathed. You would show up. You'd walk on, you know, open-toed sandals, dirt roads, make your way to a meal. And there was a job for the lowest servant in the home, which was to gird themselves with a towel and to begin to wash the people's feet. That was normally what you would do when you would come into a house in that context in that first century. It makes a lot of sense. But of course, Jesus girded himself with a towel and left the disciples an example that they should follow, in that they would serve one another, be the servant of all. And of course, it just so happened that night he also served communion. Jesus said, as often as you do this, not wash the feet, but as often as you partake of the communion, you remember me. So am I opposed to people washing feet? You know, some people do that, but it's not required to do that. I think there's the picture of washing someone's feet, Mike. You know, taking supplies up to Los Angeles to people who have lost their homes could be, in a sense, I want to wash their feet. I'm going to bring this up. I'm going to serve them in this way. So I think it's a picture of that. But again, I've known people who have done the foot washing, and if that's something that they're into, it doesn't bother. We don't do that here. And I think that's the only time you see it there in the upper room of them washing their feet. And that was used as an illustration of what it meant to be the ultimate servant of all.
And it goes much farther than that, because that's why our churches are the way they are. We find Jesus prayed for people. We find the apostle prayed for people. We find the apostles teaching us that we need to pray for one another. So that's why we pray for one another in church. Mm-hmm. Again, we have communion. It was practiced by Jesus. We find it in the New Testament. Paul talks about it there in Corinthians chapter 11. We find all the way through the Bible, this is how we establish what goes on in the church. And so I hope that sheds some light on it for you. Again, going back to pleading the blood, not found in Scripture, but again, we realize that God did use blood in the Bible, Old Testament and New, for the covering of sins. Okay, hope that answers it for you. And I think we might have lost you, but if you want to call back, send you out what we send everybody. Let's go to Audie in Washington. Hi, welcome.
Hi. I want to refer to the comment of the caller. I think he was just on just now about pleading the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Though I know in the Bible... it doesn't actually have a scripture to that. I often think of the time of Moses when the plague was coming, and Moses told his people to paint the lamb's blood above the door, on the sides of the door, and that way the plague would pass over, and they wouldn't be caught in those sins. So I actually do pray the blood of Jesus Christ over my home and over my family at night, that he would cover us in the blood of Jesus Christ. you know, cover our sins, Father, in the blood of Jesus Christ. I do plead that. And it's not that, it's not because I see that in the Bible as, you know, as a scripture to do it. It's because of the act that was done during Moses' time. And that's one of the reasons I do it. I do know that the blood of Jesus Christ can cover all of our sin through repentance and salvation. But this is just one thing that I do every night. It gives me comfort. It gives me comfort to do this for myself and my family, our home and our property. So that's one of the reasons I do it.
Okay, John, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that's wonderful. I wouldn't judge you for doing that or say if that gives you peace and the blood has been applied to you. And let me add to your the comment, Audie, that the blood of Jesus hasn't just covered you. It's actually removed your sin. See, in the Old Testament, it was a covering. And of course, the Passover lamb, Jesus is the Passover lamb. The blood was applied to the door and to the sides of the door so that when death came, the death angel would pass over the home. And that is a picture. Jesus is our Passover lamb and death has passed over us. Praise God for that. He hasn't just covered our sin, but actually he's removed it. And so, again, I just think it's one of those phrases that we often use. I plead the blood. And if that's what that means to you and you find comfort in that, well, praise the Lord. I will say I am thankful for the blood of Jesus. I'm thankful for what it has accomplished. It has redeemed me. It has brought me near to Jesus. That's what it's done. It has accomplished that. It's already been done. It's a finished work. And I rejoice in that, Mike.
Yeah. And just to remind everybody that God hears our heart. God, I said I plead the blood, so now you're obligated to do this. No, God looks at us as his children. But, you know, like I say, you pray how God instructs you to pray and leave the rest to him. Stay in line. We'll send you out the books. Coming up on a break, we'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people can. They feel like their health care costs are just out of control. And if you're 65 or older, there's actually some great news about this. You can sign up for MediShare 65 Plus and save big in the new year. MediShare 65 Plus is a healthcare bill sharing community. It's trusted, it's faith-based, and it's saving people like you thousands on medical expenses. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know out-of-pocket expenses add up fast, but this gets things back under control and gives you peace of mind, too. With one low monthly price, saves you so much, and it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor. So find out why so many seniors are absolutely raving about MediShare 65 Plus. It's very different in a wonderful way. It's actually refreshing. They even offer to pray with you each time you call. Call now and find out more. It's 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Tuesday afternoon with John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC down by San Clemente, California. Maybe forest fire free right now. Hope so. John, again, more late breaking things going on there with the fires, especially out in the Orange County area?
Not so much in the Orange County area, but I think still in the LA areas. I mean, I would say that they're still trying to contain some of those fires. Not all of them have been contained. Some of them are. And the winds were supposed to be picking up today and tomorrow. So we're hopeful that they would rather die down so that you know, something else doesn't happen and somebody takes advantage of this opportunity. That's the scary thing, Mike. You know, when you got people who are arsons who are out there starting these fires on purpose and they just take off. Man, when you have these winds at 100 miles an hour blowing through, I mean, that fire just moves and there's no stopping it. And then not only that, but the supply of water that they needed in those areas was not available. Reservoirs were, some of them were not filled and water was diverted and to other places. And that's what's tragic in so many people. If we sent that same kind of money, you know, that we're spending in other countries and we put it toward our people and the needs, whether that's in North Carolina, we're still in great trouble over what had happened there. And yet we're sending funds to these other places. We need to take care of our people here. And so it's been hard to watch that. I think today the president said that people could have $770 for their losses there in California. And it's just unthinkable. But just keep praying. And we're looking to be available to serve the Lord and minister to the people who need comfort right now.
Yeah, $770. Thanks for the trip to Costco.
Yeah.
I guess that's about what you get. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. We're going to go to Rick in Appleton, Wisconsin. Hi, and welcome.
Yeah. Hi, Pastor Mike.
Yes.
Hello.
How can we help?
I have a question. Just how you know if you're spiritually mature or, well, I say, or not?
Hmm. Well, I think there's a lot of things that would hinge upon. I believe a person of faith is a person that walks in the Spirit. And what I mean by that sounds real Christianese. But what I'm saying is this, that you've committed each day to Him. You deliberately try to stay away from things that will trip you up as far as taking the focus of Jesus out of your life and moving it on to something else. We all have our daily responsibilities, our jobs we go to, our, you know, being husbands and wives and raising our children and all these things. I believe that's all part of it. But I believe that it's really when we really come to that place in our life where we're really, it's about God, where He means everything. The Bible tells us that Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And I believe that when we really put God's word in us, the result is going to be a changed lifestyle, a life of boldness. Now, one of the things that we find, and they are gifts of the Spirit, I believe, are two particular things, is boldness and love. Now, people say, well, what's the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, you got to pray in tongues. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, it says just the opposite. Do all pray in tongues? Do all have the gift of healing? Whenever a question is asked in the negative, in the Greek, the answer is always negative. It's like looking at your children saying, do you want me to spank you? Oh, yes, very much so. No, the answer is no. Well, we find this in Corinthians chapter 12, the last couple of verses, where he talks about that. But really, the gifts that God gives us are two gifts that I believe are so important. Number one, boldness, because a lot of us are scared to speak. We're afraid of what people will think of us, things along this line. And then love. And I believe it's a supernatural love. And I don't mean, oh, well, you know, I really love you, baby, because that's my gift. No, I'm not talking about that. It's a love for the lost, because by nature, we don't care. Well, that person's going to hell. Well, good. They're a stinky. I don't like them anyway. That's not God. And I believe that when we mature in the Lord, we understand that people are lost in desperate need of a Savior. Now, that doesn't mean they don't do bad things and evil things along the way that hurt a lot of people. But I believe that no one is beyond the salvation of Jesus Christ. And you never know that God may use you to be that one that brings the message of the gospel to a person that is an undesirable. So I believe a mature Christian is a person that walks in faith, in boldness, and in love with the message to a lost world. Now, as an example, if you go to the book of Jonah, you'll find he had a great calling on his life. That was to go to Nineveh, a Gentile city, the capital of the Assyrian Empire, one of the most cruel nations that has ever ruled this planet. And when he was told to go, that God was going to destroy him, he went the other way. In fact, he probably said, good, they deserve it. And as a matter of fact, after he had the cruise in the belly of the fish, got ralphed out on the beach, his message to the Ninevites wasn't, God has a wonderful plan for your life and he loves you. His message was 40 days and Nineveh has overthrown. It's done. And then he went out of town, sat on a mountain, waiting for God's judgment to fall on Nineveh. The town repented. One of the greatest revivals in the entire Bible. And it was a Gentile city, by the way, in the Old Testament. And the one that God used to bring that great revival didn't even get to enjoy how God used him in that situation because he was so full of his own prejudice and hatred for the Gentiles and for Nineveh. So I believe that gift that we find there in 1 Corinthians 13 of love is so important because it, to me, says that we've set our agenda aside and we're going to do what God wants. So a spiritually mature Christian, I believe, is in the Word, loves God, has a love for the lost, and boldness to speak his word. Your thoughts?
You know, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 17, he said, a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree, it produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Just as you can't identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. When it comes to identifying a person that is mature in their walk with the Lord, as Mike mentioned, you're going to see the fruit that comes from their life. So if you're listening today and you say, you know, in 2025, one of my goals is I just want to grow more mature in my walk with the Lord. And how can I do that? Well, Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, he said, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it bear much might bear more fruit. And then he said this, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. The way to grow spiritually, to become more mature, to see this fruit that Pastor Mike alluded to, is to abide in Jesus, to draw close to the Lord. And what's going to happen, Mike, is that we become, as John the Baptist said, less like us and more like Jesus. He is increasing and we are decreasing. That is the sign of a mature believer. Just looking more like Jesus and less like ourselves.
So I hope that answers it for you, Rick.
Yeah, pretty much. Just one other thing. What would you describe as a spiritual fruit? I mean, like witnessing, you know.
Well, the Bible tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. John, tell us.
Yeah, the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 6, it tells us about the fact that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And these are the fruits of the Spirit. So those are the characteristics, the qualities that come from the life of a mature believer who is rooted and grounded in the Word of God. That means I'm in the Word daily. I'm abiding in God's Word. And as I'm abiding in it, you know, even the Word of God's like water to a tree in my life. The Word of God is going in and the fruit is being nurtured spiritually. That fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That is the kind of fruit that we're talking about should be visible in the life of a mature believer.
So I hope that answers it for you, Rick.
Okay, so if you're in the Word, does that mean that if you're just reading the Bible on a regular basis, you actually have to study it to be spiritually mature?
Well, I believe that, again, it isn't – Bible reading is not a marathon. Bible reading is to soak up what you're looking at. Those that meditate upon the word, as we find in Psalms chapter 1, it's what you think about what you're reading. Not, well, you know, I just knocked off, 15 chapters in the Bible and I'm super Christian. No, I know a lot of people who know the Bible, but don't have the Spirit. They dry up. I know a lot of people that have the Spirit, no word, they blow up. I know people that have both and they grow up. And I think that that's really important, that there's a balance in our Christian experience. Are you understanding what you're reading? And it is interesting to me that when God spoke to Philip, as he had a thriving ministry, and he said, go down to the desert. He went down to the desert, and God spoke to him and says, join yourself to that chariot. And the Bible says he ran to catch the chariot. Now, probably he was coming from the side, as an example. And he catches up, and there's a guy reading out of the Bible. And he says to him, knowest what thou readest? And the man said, the Ethiopian eunuch said, is this speaking of someone or somebody else? Is this speaking of God or somebody else? And so he commanded the chariot to stop, and he got on and reasoned with him from the scripture who Jesus was. Now, what I think is important, the first question he asked him, knowest what thou readest? I think that's really important because I know people can read without knowing. I've had people say, well, I'd read the Bible, but it's so boring. It's like reading a phone book. You didn't pray for the Holy Spirit to cause your heart to be aligned with His to know what you're reading. John, your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, Paul wrote to Timothy, Rick, and this is what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He simply said, study to show yourself approved unto God, a worker that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so there is a benefit and a blessing of studying the word of God. And I'm studying it not just for information, Rick, but I'm studying it for transformation. I want to be more like Jesus. And so as I read through the word and I see the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the kindness and the I think that that's what I want to be a part of my life, the fruit of the Spirit, the life of Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's where real maturity comes from. And so I would encourage you to make it a priority to study God's word so that you will continue to grow. You know, when I was a little boy, I remember in Sunday school, Mike used to sing that, you know, that read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. And it is true.
Amen. Rick, pray that that helps.
Yeah, and thanks for CSN. I say it's a great station. So.
Well, you know, that's you know, we really love teaching God's word here. And so I just want to say, and Rick, when you say something like that, I want to say thank you to all of you who support CSN that allow us to build more stations, that allow us to stay on 24 hours a day. And, you know, again, nobody here has Rolex watches and, Americanus Maximus is parked out in the parking lot. We're just a group of people like people live next door trying to do what God's called us to do to get the word out. We do know, the Bible says, work for the night is coming when no one can work. And I don't know how long we've got, but I know as long as we have, we'll do what we can do together to spread the gospel. Rick, stay in line. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, a little book called Time to Grow. I think you'll really enjoy. We'll get that out to you. God bless you. And thanks so much for the call. 8888 Ask CSN is the number to call. If you want to call today, we got some lines open. Let's go to Tony, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yes. I have a prayer request.
Yes.
Okay, I just found out today that the company that I've worked for 12 years is being acquired by another company. and there's a high probability within the next month or so that I'm not going to have a job. This impacts about 3,000 people across the United States. We have locations wow. all over the United States and even in your area. I know, and I have faith in God, I know He's going to provide, but I am shaken by this. And so I ask for prayers for me and all of the people that are impacted by this.
You know what I think? I think God's on His throne, and you know, it doesn't. I mean, we all go through different changes here, but I know God reigns supreme. And if a door closes, know this, God will always open another one to direct you where He wants you to go. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say, Tony, I know what that's like. I've experienced that before, and I've also walked through that valley with many families through the years, and it can be a little unsettling when you don't know what's next. And you know, this company's been, like you said, been going for 12 years, and there are things in life that obviously they can shake us. And the important thing, and I know you know this as a believer, but so often it brings me back to my foundation. And I don't know how God's going to provide for you and those that are affected, but I know that He is able, and we want to pray for you and for those that are in that same situation, looking for work or in need of it, that God would open a door and provide for the needs of your families. And I'm so thankful that the Lord encourages us to come in moments like these and just say, God, here I am. This is my need. You know it already. This whole thing that's happened with the company, although it takes me by surprise, well, Lord, it doesn't take You by surprise. So show me what to do. And we want to, Tony, we'll be praying for you and others, right, who are in that same exact position.
We will. And again, Tony, God's on His throne. He knows right where you're at and your friends. And where God closes a door and allows it to be closed, I promise God will open another door. You know, the Bible says, ask, seek, and knock to find God's will for our life. Those words in the Greek are repetitious. In other words, knock and keep on knocking. Ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, because this is how we find. Now, when God, if God closes a door, I don't want to stand at the door and pick the lock. I want to just say, okay, God, You've closed that door. Now I'll go where You want me to go. And you'll see that God, who loves you as His child, will protect you, dear. And so understand that there may be some changes. Not everybody probably will lose their job. And it may be very much that God may use this to move you where He wants you to be. Maybe you're done where you're at. I talked to a friend last night on the phone, and he was telling me some things. And I just said, you know, God may be moving you in a new direction. And it's exciting to be a Christian, because I think about people that are not born again. Their lives are nothing but a rut. And do you know what a rut is? A coffin with its ends kicked out. And that's where they're at. But you, as a child of God, the Bible says He divinely ordains your footsteps where you are to go. And so if God closes one door, hey, He's faithful. He'll open another one. And so, Tony, can we pray for you?
Thank y'all.
Father, we just pray for Tony and her friends, God, that she would not fear, but Lord, You'd give her boldness and a sound mind, that You would show her that You will take care of her. You are our Jehovah Jireh, our provider, and You will provide for her and provide for her friends. And Lord, let this be an opportunity for her to share, God, Your great provision with her friends as well. And so, Lord, may You protect her, put Your bucket of golden love all over her, and let her know, God, that You're going to take care of her in the days to come. And for all of us, we need to remember this as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Tony, our prayers are with you. Stay in line if you like. I'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs I think you'll enjoy, okay? God bless you, dear. Stay online, and we'll get you taken care of. And with that, we'll go to Vicki in Texas. Hi, welcome.
Hi there.
Hi.
Okay.
How can we help?
Oh, can you? Okay, I've got a couple quick questions. I love to study the Word daily. I
believe it's so important for my spiritual life, obviously, just living in this crazy world. But a couple things that I want to know. So the first one is about demons and fallen angels. Are they different? Or are they one and the same?
I believe they're the same. I believe they're disembodied spirits as they have been removed from heaven. We know that some still have access into heaven, and that does not end until about halfway through the tribulation period, where there's a war in heaven. Satan and his angels fought, Michael and his angels fought, and they were cast out, and Satan is cast down to this earth. Now, we do know that some are already cast down to this earth. And so I believe that, again, we encounter those as we study the life of Jesus. We find the man of Gadara had many devils, many spirits inside of him, legion, for we are many. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I believe also, Vicky, that those are one and the same, that the fallen angels are the demonic spirits that do the bidding of the devil. And many commentators suggest that Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul talks about the spiritual battle that we're in, that he cites the different rankings of angelic beings. You remember there that he said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and hosts of wickedness and in heavenly places. That was in some way a ranking of demonic spirits that are fallen angels. In fact, this it would seem to also imply this when you go to the Old Testament. For example, when Daniel was there praying and interceding on behalf of the nation of Israel while he was in Babylon, you remember that Gabriel was trying to get a message to him, and or one of the angels was trying to get a message to him. And he said, Daniel, from the first time that you prayed, I was sent. However, he said, I was withstood by the prince of Persia, a fallen angel, a demonic spirit. And he had to call for Michael, the archangel, to come and to deliver him so that they could get the message to Daniel from the Lord. Interesting. This, it's always been fascinating to me that there is a spiritual battle that is unseen going on all around us all the time that is as real as any physical battle that we could see with our eyes, but yet we can't see it. But it's very real. And the Bible tells us that. And thankfully, we are victors in this battle because we have the spiritual armor to be able to overcome. But I do believe, again, that those are one and the same.
So I hope that helps.
Yeah, I have my second question is another just little quick one. In studying the word, I've come across we have a spiritual, our prayer language, and then you can, you know, obviously be baptized in the spirit and have a tongues as a gift. Are they one and the same? Or are they two different?
I believe they're the same. And again, people that have trouble with the gifts of the Spirit say, oh, well, God gave the gift of tongues so the disciples could go out and preach the gospel to people in India and all these other. You never find one instance in the Bible where anybody ever preached a sermon based upon the gift of tongues. Paul clearly tells us those that pray in an unknown tongue pray to God and not to man. So that's what I believe is what the Bible clearly says. It doesn't say it's to go into foreign lands and be able to supernaturally pick up a language you never studied for. Now, is it a real language? Yes, because we find in Acts chapter 2, how is it that we hear them all speaking in our hometown dialect? Our home languages literally is what the Greek reads. And he lists the different languages that are there that we hear them speaking. Well, they were worshiping and glorifying God. If you look at what they were saying, they were not preaching sermons. And so understanding that it is a supernatural ability to communicate to God of things in the spirit. Paul tells us in chapter 12, the interpretation of tongues. Now, what's that? Well, when I pray in an unknown tongue, I want to pray and say, Lord, now what did I just say? What is on your heart? And I believe that makes a tremendous impact. Now, has God used the gift of tongues to minister to people outside of our own personal language? Yes, just as it was in Acts chapter 2. But what are they doing? They're worshiping and glorifying God. Paul confirms this and say, those that pray in an unknown tongue pray to God and not to man. Any last thoughts?
I would say for more information, you should read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. That'll give you a clear understanding of that gift.
Amen. And with that, we are out of time. And Vicki, I hope that answered your questions for you. Stay in line. We'll get you fixed up. John, thank you so much for being on.
God bless you, Mike.
Our prayers are with you as you minister to the firefighters in Southern California. God bless you all.
Ministry, or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.